So now we'll read from Bhagavad Gita, I know we're on chapter 4, and this
verses 41,
which we, might have done last week, right? Yes, you're right. Verse 41. So, let's see. Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana sanchina samsayam.
Jnana sanchina samsayam.
Atmavantam na karmani. Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Yoga sanyasyat karmanam.
Yoga sanyasyat karmanam.
Jnana sanchina samshayam.
Jnana sanchina samshayam.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Yoga
sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana
sanchina samshayam.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana sanchina samshayam.
Jnana sanchina samshayam.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana sanchina samshayam.
Atmavantam na karmani. Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana
sanchina samshayam. Atmavantam na karmani.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana sanchina samshayam.
Jnana sanchina samshayam.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana sanchina samshayam.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Nibadnanti dananjaya.
Yoga.
Yoga.
By devotional service in karma yoga.
By devotional service in karma yoga.
Sanyasta,
sanyasta,
one who has renounced,
one who has renounced,
karmanam,
karmanam,
the fruits of actions,
the fruits of actions,
jnana,
jnana,
by knowledge,
by knowledge,
sanchina,
sanchina,
cut,
cut,
samshayam,
samshayam,
doubts,
doubts,
atmavantam,
atmavantam,
situated in the self,
situated in the self.
Na,
na,
never.
Never.
Karmani,
karmani,
works.
Works.
Nibadnanti,
nibadnanti,
do bind.
Do bind.
Dananjaya,
dananjaya,
O conqueror of riches.
O conqueror of riches.
Can you read?
Thanks. Report. Well, the translation. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus, he is not bound by the reactions of work. O conqueror of riches. Purport by His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who follows the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita as it is imparted by the Lord, the personality of Godhead Himself, becomes free from all doubts by the grace of transcendental knowledge. He, as a part and parcel of the Lord, in full Krishna consciousness, is already established in self-knowledge. As such, he is undoubtedly above bondage to action.
Thanks. So last verse we were, Krishna was saying, but ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So this theme of, or this word of doubt is continued again into the next verse here, where Krishna's now talking about the situation of one who overcomes doubt and how we overcome doubt. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. So it's really important to overcome doubt. You could say, our fall from grace, you know, our original fall, or that condition is a condition of doubt. In the spiritual world, Krishna talks about, he says in this, in the Gita, he says there's two types of living entities. There's the fallible and the infallible. I think that's in the, is it ninth?
15.
You know the verse? So he says those who live in the spiritual world are infallible, and those who live in the material world are fallible. So in the spiritual world, everyone understands who they are and who the Lord is, and there's no doubt about it. But in the material world, as soon as we come here, we're in doubt. We're in doubt about ourselves. It's just like if you, you know, you have a flashlight and you cover it. Right? Suddenly the light's been covered. We're cut off. We're not cut off, but we're cut off. In a sense that we've forgotten who we are and what our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So we're actually in a state of doubt, wondering who we are. And what's the symptom that characterizes that doubt? What does one feel like when one's in doubt? I know what I feel like when I'm in doubt. I don't like it. It's very uncomfortable to be in doubt. And what else does one feel when one's in doubt? What are some feelings that come up?
Fear.
Bhayam, or like the verse Vaish was quoting, Bhayam dvitiya vinivesha-tashad. This is from the 11th canto. And so one of the Yogindras is speaking. He said that when one comes to the material world and one wants to forget one's position, then immediately there's this bhaya, there's this fear that comes. And one does not understand one's relationship with the Lord. In fact, it becomes opposite. Dvitiya, what does dvitiya mean? Duality, dual consciousness. So we forget our relationship with the Lord. Not only do we forget we're the servant of the Lord, but we become vayam dvitiya binivesha tashad ishad apichasya viparyayo shmiti viparyayo. That word, does that mean competitor? So instead of servant, we become competitor. And of course, we're going to lose every time. We're losers. So, and if you, so it's not a good position. It's not a happy position. Doubtful position means fear, and it means being a loser.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, I was thinking of other things. Doubtful. There's confusion, frustration,
lack of security.
Insecurity.
Reactive,
huh? Yeah.
Make you angry.
Yeah. No, actually, reactive, that's an interesting one because, you know, when we're young children, we're totally dependent upon our parents and upon our immediate environment, right? And so it's actually in most cases, it's a very insecure situation. Maybe our father's an alcoholic, or maybe our mother's a rageaholic, or maybe the kids in the neighborhood, you know, are gang members. So this is always like a fearful situation that we react to. So then we get in the habit of always wondering about what's behind the next corner, right? We're in a reactive situation so that we're actually always projecting our fear. This is how I felt after working on the street so many years in San Francisco. I don't feel this much so much right now. But when I wasn't at work and I would go back into the city, like with my family or with my kids for some... I was a paramedic. And so I worked in San Francisco for 20 years. First I started out in Oakland for 3 years there, and then I moved into San Francisco. And basically I always saw the worst things. You know, I saw the most horrific things you could imagine. So when I wasn't at work, whenever I was walking around, I was kind of like, you know, I can see that's a seedy looking person over there, and you know, I know what goes on in this neighborhood. You know, I could just see my wife and kids are walking along blissfully ignorant of the environment they were in. But I was like reactive, overreactive is what I'm trying to say, is I was seeing dangers that probably weren't even there just from being exposed to it all the time. So that, you know, that situation, you know, mentally speaking, when we're in that consciousness of always fearing and always being afraid, we tend to create that for ourselves. We tend to attract that into our environment. Just like you see persons that are muscle-bound, right, and always in the gym and taking all types of different martial arts. And what is motivating that? Deep down inside, you know, that where is that motivation coming? It's for protection, right? We want to protect ourselves. It's almost an overreaction, you know. Maybe that person was, you know, bullied, you know, for the first 10 years of his life or whatever, you know. But there's this fear motivating that, and naturally, a lot of times those type of people tend to attract violence into their life. They're always thinking about protecting themselves, so there's always a situation where they have to protect themselves. You know, or somebody's always packing a weapon. You know, they get into those situations where they meet other people that are also packing weapons. So when we're in a state of fear, we attend to see that and we attend to track that into our consciousness. And this is all going back to a state of doubt or a state of not understanding that we're Sat-Chit-Ananda, right? Because the soul is Sat-Chit-Ananda. Sat means eternal. Chit means fully conscious. And Ananda means full of bliss. That's our spiritual nature. So as soon as we forget that, then we fall into this fearful condition. So Krishna is mentioning what the remedy to that situation is here. And what does he say? What's the remedy?
Knowledge.
Transcendental knowledge. Yeah. Transcendental knowledge. Yeah. His doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge. So one whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge and who has renounced the fruits of his action, he is factually situated in the self. Situated in the self means he's regained his memory that he's Sat-Chit-Ananda. So that person, he's not afraid anymore. and he's not in doubt anymore. And then he fully can give himself to the Lord. Really, I mean, why don't we surrender to Krishna? We have some doubt. Ultimately, that's what's blocking us. I don't think it's so much that we want to compete with Krishna. We're just doubtful of our situation, of what we are. We're ignorant of who we are and who he is. And once we know that, then there's nothing holding us back. But as long as that doubt is there. So, what are the things that we can do to attain transcendental knowledge and overcome doubt? Let's use the microphones and raise hands.
Renounce the fruits of your action.
You can overcome doubt by renouncing the fruits of your action, and how would that work?
Because by renunciation, you get some knowledge.
What do you learn?
You learn that I'm okay, that I'm being maintained, I'm not my body, and that I'm not the controller of things. There's a way in which when you renounce the fruits of your action, then you realize that you're not the doer.
Sometimes that happens to people involuntarily, doesn't it?
That they lose things?
Well, sometimes you hear that, a person's lost everything and they freaked out. Right? But then they discovered that they were okay. Right? So sometimes Krishna, it's said that when Krishna really favors somebody, he takes away whatever they're attached to so that they realize that they're okay without it and they lose their attachment and they become more attached to Krishna. Right. Of course, I was reading somewhere in the ninth canto, I forget what I was reading, maybe it was Bali Maharaj. Yeah, Krishna took everything away from Bali Maharaj and totally humiliated him. Even after Bali Maharaj agreed to Vamana's request and gave him the three steps of land, he was cooperative and humble through the whole time. But still he was arrested and then he was tied up and humiliated. But still he didn't protest. Then after that, Krishna gave him everything back. And so it's mentioned there that when Krishna favors somebody, he takes everything away from that person. But when he really favors somebody, because he knows they won't fall into Maya again, he gives everything back. It's like that with Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna took everything away from him, he thought, I'm creating this business so that I can spread the teachings of my spiritual master. That was his only motivation for creating, a big successful business. But then Krishna took it all away from him. And at first, Prabhupada was distressed and wondering why. I was just motivated to spread my spiritual master's teachings. Why has Krishna taken away my business? And why have I had to struggle alone in Vrindavan all these years and no one's helping me? Why do I have to come to America all by myself? He struggled and he struggled. And then eventually Krishna gave him, he renounced his family, but then Krishna gave him hundreds and thousands of daughters and sons and everything came back. So Krishna works like that. He takes everything away so that we fully dependent upon him, but then sometimes he gives everything back in order for us to do service. So anyway, thank you. One way is that we develop transcendental knowledge and we overcome doubt is by renunciation of the fruits of our activities. Is there something else we can do when we're in doubt? Yes,
Guru Maharaj, what
do
of the event, there's enough to go around for everyone, so there's no fear of not getting enough. also to flee from the enemy. It helps us to understand that the future has, there's a whole lot to unfold. The future has for you.
So hearing transcendental knowledge helps us overcome doubt. So like hearing Krishna's words, I know I often feel that way. How many people are in Chad? Right, is anyone here a member of Chad? Chad? Chapter a day, yeah. Reading one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. If you read one chapter of Gita a day, then you're a member of Chad.
It was next to Sudan or something.
That's true. This is a different Chad. This is the kind of Chad that removes your doubt. So oftentimes I feel that way when it almost doesn't matter what chapter I read. As soon as I read Krishna's words, I feel like I'm associating with Krishna, and just all, any cloud, any doubt just goes away, even if it's just for a moment while I'm reading the chapter, at least for that amount of time, things are clear. And of course, when you're out of doubt, then you're feeling peaceful, you're feeling happy, you're feeling non-envious, feeling all these good feelings. So reading a chapter a day, hearing transcendental knowledge helps remove doubt and inspires us to trust Krishna, surrender to Krishna. I'm thinking of something else that I haven't heard anyone say yet that's really, really powerful.
The question again?
How do we overcome doubt? Krishna is saying here that by hearing, you know, by being situated in transcendental knowledge, we overcome doubt. So I'm thinking, what are some other ways or in relationship to this that we overcome doubt? Vijay Prabhu.
Association.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. Can you say more about that, please?
Well, by association with devotees who are free of doubt, then by that association we also become free of doubt. One who is convinced. And kind of an interesting thing that happened with Prabhupada and his disciples in Los Angeles. He had all the leaders with him. And he was very grave, and he said, "So, are you all convinced?" And no one said anything. It was just so intense. And then after about a minute, Prabhupada said, "Well, I'm convinced." So Prabhupada was free of doubt. So many devotees, by the association of Prabhupada, they also became very convinced.
Mm. Yeah, when I watch the memories of Srila Prabhupada, that's a theme that often comes up amongst devotees' remembrance of Srila Prabhupada, is how they were convinced by Prabhupada's certainty. That really was one of the prominent remembrances I hear from devotees, that feeling. Did you ever associate with Srila Prabhupada?
I came 9 months after Prabhupada. Missed that.
So, yes, associating with advanced devotees or those who are free from doubt, it really is a really powerful, you know, very necessary.
Also, we associate with Prabhupada, of course, by reading his books. So he said, "Everything is in my books." Mm. And there's that nice poem that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, he reasons ill to say the Vaishnavas die while still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die.
To live
instead of holding him around. Mm. So, yeah, we could all associate with Prabhupada by reading.
Die.
So much of this chapter about transcendental knowledge talks about sacrifices. And then at the end this talks about the sacrifice in knowledge is just better than the sacrifice of possessions without knowledge. It reminds me of a couple of things. It reminds me of the Isha Upanishad verse we were just reading, and how
And what Hansipriya was saying, that there's sufficient stuff to go around, because if we know that we're part and parcel of the Supreme, that everything that emanates from the Supreme is complete, and that we have a role to play. We're supposed to be performing our role as servants of Krishna. So I wanted to say that we can remove doubt by going on Sankirtan, because that's the sacrifice prescribed for this age. And when we're all out on Lytton Plaza chanting together, we have no doubts.
Right. And doesn't Prabhupada say that if you perform Sankirtan, you'll be infused with superior knowledge, superior strength and knowledge, if you try and preach?
He wrote a letter to Dayananda and Nandarani, and he said that if you try to preach to others, if you try to teach them this knowledge, then you will gain superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness for yourselves.
Certainly, it causes one to study more deeply too, because when you're teaching to others, you really have to know what you're talking about, or at least appear like you do. And so I think when you read Prabhupada's books, and you study much more intently when you're thinking of terms of how am I going to communicate this to somebody else. So preaching work really helps us imbibe and go deeper into the very thing that we're trying to explain to others.
Just also following this theme about when you're preaching, when you're doing Sankirtan, when you're out meeting people, one of the ways that I think that we become free from doubt and stronger is seeing how it actually works. Because when we meet people on Sankirtan and we actually see that they become enlivened naturally, or that, you know, there's people who have been looking for this. Like sometimes people say, I've been looking for this, you know, for a long time. Or the story that Bhakti Kishore wrote about the garbage man who found a Bhagavad Gita years ago and started reading it, cleaned it, had it rebound, and had been looking for Prabhupada's books. You know, you meet people and you actually see it. And then on the other side, too, you see how painful doubt is, because sometimes just when the act of trying to, you know, give somebody like prasadam or a book or something, and they're so closed or negative or so full of doubt that out of hand they just reject it, and then you see for yourself what a painful situation that is. All channels closed. Can't be any other way than what I already know. And then it reinforces how, you know, I should be open-minded and be able to understand the truth through humility and such. Mm. You know, it molds you. Mm. And you actually see it for yourself through interaction with other living entities and how they're becoming inspired or how they're closed and things. Mm.
Thank you. So we have one more verse in this chapter. I'd like to read, we have time, I'd like to read this verse in purport, and then the whole chapter, just the verses, so that we get the whole flavor of the whole chapter. So let's first read verse 42. Tasmada jnana sambhutam richtam jnana sinatmana Chitvainam samshayam yogam tishto tishto bharata. Where's our announcer?
Page 240.
Verse 42, the last verse of the chapter.
Word for word or just translation?
Oh, just translation and purport.
Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The yoga system instructed in this chapter is called Sanatana Yoga, or eternal activities performed by the living entity. This yoga has two divisions of sacrificial actions. One is called sacrifice of one's material possessions, and the other is called knowledge of self, which is pure spiritual activity. If sacrifice of one's material possessions is not dovetailed for spiritual realization, then such sacrifice becomes material. But one who performs such sacrifices with a spiritual objective or in devotional service makes a perfect sacrifice. When we come to spiritual activities, we find that these are also divided into two, namely, understanding of one's own self or one's constitutional position, and the truth regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who follows the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is can very easily understand these two important divisions of spiritual knowledge. For him, there is no difficulty in obtaining perfect knowledge of the self as part and parcel of the Lord, and such understanding is beneficial, for such a person can easily understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. In the beginning of this chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were discussed by the Supreme Lord himself. One who does not understand the instructions of the Gita is faithless and is to be considered to be misusing the fragmental independence awarded to him by the Lord. In spite of such instructions, one who does not understand the real nature of the Lord as the eternal, blissful, all-knowing personality of Godhead is certainly fool number one. Ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of the principles of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigods, sacrifice to Brahman, sacrifice in celibacy, in household life, in controlling the senses, in practicing mystic yoga, in penance, in foregoing material possessions, in studying the Vedas, and in partaking of the social institution called Varnashram Dharma. All of these are known as sacrifice, and all of them are based on regulated action. But within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita, but one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a bona fide spiritual master with service and surrender. A bona fide spiritual master is in the disciplic succession from time eternal, and he does not deviate at all from the instructions of the Supreme Lord as they were imparted millions of years ago to the Sun God, from whom the instructions of Bhagavad Gita have come down to the earthly kingdom. One should therefore follow the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is expressed in the Gita itself, and beware of self-interested people after personal aggrandizement who deviate others from the actual path. The Lord is definitely the Supreme Person, and his activities are transcendental. One who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of his study of Bhagavad Gita.
Jai. Wow, what a wonderful summary of the whole chapter, really. This purport's really a summary of the whole chapter, and which we're going to read the whole chapter very soon. But I just wanted to say that going back, when we think about our fall from grace, we've fallen into ignorance. And the symptom of this ignorance is doubt or fear. And I mentioned this last week, the word ignorance comes from the word ignore. So when we ignore God, we fall into ignorance. That's how we fall into forgetfulness. And there's different acts of sacrifice or different types of yoga that are prescribed in the Vedas, and they all help remove this ignorance to one degree or another. Of course, Prabhupada's saying the sacrifice that's aimed for self-realization and aimed in God-realization, that's the perfect sacrifice. So when the sacrifice is connected with the Supreme Lord or Bhakti Yoga, when the sacrifice is for this understanding the Supreme Lord, then that removes the ignorance that we've fallen into. That's the solution to our original problem of ignoring the Lord. And so these other types of yogas, the Karma Yogas, the Jnana Yogas, if they're just aimed at self-realization and they're not aimed at God-realization, they don't remove that ignorance totally. There's still some ignoring of the Lord going on. And so we may overcome a certain amount of suffering and come to a certain level of knowledge if we're following Varnashram, or we're doing some Vedic sacrifices, or we're doing Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. We may be realizing the self, and we may be pretty much full of, freed from lust, freed from fear, and, you know, our consciousness no longer mixed with the mind or the body. So there may be some stability there. But it's not completely, it's not complete. But when this sacrifice, when we're studying Bhagavad Gita and we're engaging, of course, in the Sankirtan Yajna, but when our life and our purpose is aimed at satisfying the Supreme Lord, then the ignorance at the very core of the heart is removed. And eventually we're established in our relationship with the Lord, and then no more ignorance, no more doubt. Doubt is finally overcome. So let's all read a verse. We'll start with Vaish. We'll start with verse 1. Just we'll read the English so that we can get the flow of the whole chapter. One thing that's really nice about reading a chapter a day is you start to see how one chapter ends and another chapter begins, and how one chapter flows into the other. And you see the different topics Krishna's talking about and how one leads to the other. And so let's read the last two verses of chapter 3 and see how they lead into chapter 4. And then we'll see how chapter 4 leads into chapter 5. So let's start with verse 42 in chapter 3.
One each?
Yeah.
On page 188.
Yeah.
The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence.
Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental, the material senses, mind and intelligence. O mighty Arjuna, one should study the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust.
Yeah. So here Krishna is recommending to Arjuna that, because Arjuna asked, how does one overcome lust? What is it that forces one to act even against one's will? And then Krishna explains in this chapter, it's lust. And then he explains how to overcome lust by becoming fixed in knowledge of the self. So now this will lead into chapter 4.
The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna said, I instructed the imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu turned, instructed it to Ikshvaku.
The supreme science was thus received through the chain of the cyclic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost.
That very ancient science of the relationship with the supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee, as well as my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science.
Arjuna said, the sun god Vivasvan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him?
So this is really interesting. A lot of the conversation that's going on is because of the questions that Arjuna is asking. So Arjuna is saying, wait a minute here. How could you have told this to the sun god? Aren't we friends? We're like about the same age. So this sets up the opportunity for Krishna to actually talk about his transcendental nature. So we're going from self-realization now to God-realization. So this is the first time where Krishna is really going to tell it like it is, as far as who he is and what his position is.
The personality of Godhead said, many, many births, both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy.
although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form.
Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself.
To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear, millennium after millennium.
One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna.
This is a very, very famous verse. It's quoted many times. The Prabhupada often quotes. It's good. This is a good verse for devotees to memorize and a good, wonderful purport to study. It's a very, very encouraging purport because Krishna's Prabhupada mentions here in this purport that one who has faith in Krishna's position and is in the transcendental activities of Krishna. If one may not realize them. If one just has faith in them, then he will not take birth again in this material world. That's very nice. Here's the mountain man.
Being free from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past displaying purified the knowledge of me. And thus they all
attain
transcendental
love
for me.
Mm.
As all surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path and all the wholesome of the heart.
Text 12.
Men in this world desire success and fruitive activities, and therefore they worship the demigods. Quickly, of course, men get results from fruitive work in this world.
According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchanging.
14.
There is no work that affects me. Nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of the actions of work.
All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty, following their footsteps.
Everyone, move up, please. We need more sitting room in the temple. You can just move this and move all the way up. Which text are we on next? 16.
In the intelligence of bewildered in determining what is the action, what is inaction, now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune.
The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is.
18.
O Lucis, natural in action, natural in action, is intelligent person and is a transcendental person, although engaged in all such activities.
19.
One is understood to be in full knowledge, whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for transgression, is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge.
20.
Abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruitive action, although engaged in all kinds of productive things.
21.
Such a man of understanding acts with mind and intelligence, perfectly controlled, gives up all sense of proprietorship over his possessions, and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions.
He who is satisfied with gain, which comes of his own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions.
The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence.
The person who is
fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the accumulation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature.
25.
Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them, and some of them offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman.
26.
Some, the unattended brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control, and others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of senses.
Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses offer the function of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind.
28.
Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions and others by performing severe austerities. By practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the latest advanced in transcendental knowledge.
29.
Still others who are inclined to the process of faith, restrained to remain in trance, practice by offering the movement of the outgoing breath into the incoming, and incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Others, curtailing the eating process, offer the offering breath into itself as a sacrifice.
All these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions, and having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifices, they advance toward the Supreme Eternal Master.
O best of the Kuru Dynasty, without sacrifice one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next?
Isn't it a fact?
All these different types of sacrifice are approved by the Vedas, and all of them are born of different types of work. Knowing them as such, you will become liberated.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master.
Did we just miss one? Text 33, sorry.
O chastisement of enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Bhakta, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge.
That's just the point you were making, huh, Vaish? Yeah.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-reliant souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth.
I know that voice.
Having obtained real knowledge from a self-famous soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries.
Well, that's nice to know.
As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities.
In
this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time.
39.
But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. A capable man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge. And having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace.
40.
But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus he is not bound by the actions of work or conqueror of riches.
Yeah, we didn't hear Luann either.
We can go if you give Luann.
She didn't want.
She passed.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right. Go ahead.
Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be smashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight.
Krishna Arjuna ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So nice. Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry. All right, yeah, let's see how this leads into. Okay. Go ahead, Ramesh. Five, let's read the first couple of verses of 5.
Arjuna said, O Krishna, first of all, you asked me to renounce world, and then again you recommend world with devotion. Now, will you kindly tell me definitely which one of the two is more beneficial?
The personality of God replied, the renunciation of work and work and devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work and devotional service is better than renunciation of work.
Thank you. So that's how we'll begin next week, chapter 5. Any last comments before we have Artik?
Well, I was thinking,
doubting one's own ability is something I was thinking about. And so then I was thinking about chapter 18, text 66.
Can I read this paragraph?
Chapter 18,
text 66. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender them to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear.
I was remembering that I heard my Guru Dev say, besides do not fear, he said, do not hesitate, do not doubt. So then I was reading in the purport here. It says in the 7th chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically free. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitantly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him.
Thank you.
Help me out.
Yeah. It's very encouraging. So, Krishna says in the 7th chapter, Yesham Tvantakatam Papam Janandam Punya Karmanam Te Danva Nirmukta Bhujante Mam Dridhavataha, said that unless you're freed from sin and unless you're engaged in pious activities and unless you are freed from duality, unless you're situated in self-knowledge, it's very difficult to engage in devotional service and determination. You know? And so we see that, we do have these doubts due to our attachments, due to our ignorance, and these inhibit us from surrendering to Krishna. But nonetheless, if we take up this process of surrender, Krishna will protect us, Krishna will free us from our karmas. Only Krishna can relieve our debt. No one else can relieve that debt. And Krishna, he can relieve that debt. So when we surrender unto him, even though we have no qualification, and we surrender to Krishna by surrendering to the spiritual master, then by the mercy of the spiritual master, we can engage in Krishna's service, even though we're unqualified, sinful, on and on and on. So thank you, Dayani. That was very nice. So next class will be chapter 5. So it would be good if everyone reads chapter 5 before we come to class. Maybe even read chapter 5 every day every week that we're still reading chapter 5, and just in, let's get deeply absorbed in chapter 5. What do you say?
John.
Okay.